ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಾ ಭಾಗಿರಿ ವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜಾನರಂಗನ ಪರಮಹಂಸಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರದ್ಧೋಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ So this morning we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, verse number 6, Brahma prayers for creative energy. I'm trying to get the tune here. Chintamani prakrasam asaka pariksha tavad bhayam dravina deha suhim ತಾವದ್ ಭಯಂ ದ್ರವಿನ ದೇಹ ಸುಹಿನ್ ನಿಮಿತ್ತಂ ತಾವದ್ ಭಯಂ ದ್ರವಿನ ದೇಹ ಸುಹಿನ್ ನಿಮಿತ್ತಂ ಶೋಕಾಸ್ಪೃಹಾ ಪರಿಭವೋ ವಿಪುಲಶ್ಚ ಲೋಭ
ಶೋಕಾಸ್ಪೃಹಾ ಪರಿಭವೋ ವಿಪುಲಶ್ಚ ಲೋಭ
Bhavan Mametya Sat Avagraha Ati Mulam. Yavan Natengrim Abhayam Pravarinita Loka. Please chant. Word to word. Tavat. Until then. Bhayam. Fear. Dravina. Wealth. Deha. Body. Surhit. Relatives. Nimittam. For the matter of. Shoka. Lamentation. Spriha. Desire. Paribhava. Paraphernalia. Vipula. Vipula. Very great. Cha. Also. Lobha. Avarice. Tavat. Up to that time. Mama. Mine. Iti. Thus. Asat. Perishable. Avagraha. Undertaking. Arti Mulam. Full of anxieties. Yavat.
As long as.
Na.
Na.
Do not.
Te.
Your.
Anghim.
Abhayam.
Safe lotus feet.
Pravrinita.
Take shelter.
Loka.
The people of the world.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They're always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They're filled with lamentation and unlawful desires for paraphernalia, and they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. Purport. One may question how one can always think of the Lord in regard to his name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs. Everyone in the material world is full of thoughts about how to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus, he is always in fear and lamentation, trying to keep up with the status quo. In answer to this question, this verse spoken by Brahma is very appropriate. A pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as the proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord, and thus he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interests of his family. Because of this surrender, he no longer has any attraction for wealth. Even if there is attraction for wealth, it is not for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. A pure devotee may be attracted to accumulating wealth just like an ordinary man, but the difference is that a devotee acquires money for the service of the Lord, whereas the ordinary man acquires money for his sense enjoyment. Thus, the acquisition of wealth by a devotee is not a source of anxieties, as is the case for a worldly man. And because a pure devotee accepts everything in the sense of serving the Lord, the poisonous teeth of accumulation of wealth are extracted. If a snake has its poison removed and bites a man, there is no fatal effect. Similarly, wealth accumulated in the cause of the Lord has no poisonous teeth, and the effect is not fatal. A pure devotee is never entangled in material worldly affairs, even though he may remain in the world like an ordinary man. Nama Om Shivaya Krishna Shaya Bhagavishna Te Bhakti Vedanta Swami Te Namane Namaste Shasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Karine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpataru Bhastra Kripasinu Bheva Chakrutana Vampavane Bheva Shri Vyana We say Srimad Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Grantharaj is the king of all the books, all the granthas, Grantharaj. This is a very important book that we study every day. We know this Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna gave to us as he left this planet, yeah? Swadhama Upagate. Krishna, when he went, he left dharma jnana sa adibhi. He left this Bhagavatam for us. And Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear about what it is about. The very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam tells us it's about the absolute truth. The first verse tells us that this book is going to be about the absolute truth. The third verse tells us what we will get from the Srimad Bhagavatam, how juicy it is, how much nectar it is, and especially because it was re-spoken by Shukadev Goswami, it's extra sweet, and it's a mango without seeds. You don't have to even chew it. It's so much nectar. It's nirgama kalpataror galitam phalam. It's the fruit, it's the juiciest fruit of all the Vedic literatures. And we're told, Pibata Bhagavatam, drink this Bhagavatam. So we're being given this Bhagavatam, we can drink it. Yeah? The second verse of the Bhagavatam, it kind of gives us who can relish this Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaitavatro, it's this Bhagavatam is devoid of any cheating religions. No cheating religion is in this, nothing. And who can relish this Bhagavatam? Nirmatsaranam satam, those who are free of envy. So this Bhagavatam is very, very special. I was thinking actually, every literature, piece of literature that we have, that Srila Prabhupada has given and the Goswamis have given, is actually coming from the Bhagavatam. We were just reading, Srila Prabhupada and I were reading, been reading CC, and we're in the part where, in the Antya Leela, Rupa Goswami is talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other Vaishnavas, and he's talking about the two plays, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And when you see it, you can, at least one, the other day I said, oh, this is just from the Bhagavatam. You know, you can, in other words, the plays he's written is an extension of the Bhagavatam. The CC is an extension of the Bhagavatam. CC has so many Bhagavatam verses. That's how Lord Chaitanya, whatever he says, he backs it up with the Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is just an amazing piece of literature. So here, and one thing I was thinking about what the Bhagavatam also does, it's pretty heavy actually. You know, the other day, I think it was last week or something, Mitrasen Prabhu was talking about how Srila Prabhupada's so heavy, you know. He's very heavy in his presentation. But Bhagavatam, if you really see, is very heavy. It tells you as it is. It almost like shows a mirror to you, in front of you, saying, this is what you are. And somebody tells us this, you want to close your eyes. You don't want to look at the mirror. Is that right, Divyanga Prabhu? You don't want to look at the mirror if you know you're blank, 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 whatever. If you know, you don't want to look at the mirror. Is telling you the truth about yourself. And so keeping understanding where Bhagavatam is coming from, we see in this chapter here, Brahma's creative energy, the very first verse from this chapter, Lord Brahma says, Oh my Lord, today after many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. So think about Lord Brahma. We've been hearing that for 100 years, his 100 years, our billion, trillion, whatever years, but his 100 years with his four heads, so it's 400 years of his 100 years, so whatever. He has been meditating, trying to figure out where did he come from. And finally, after all this long meditation, he finally sees the source of his creation, the source of his existence. Can you imagine how happy he was? I mean, when we try to make an endeavor to do something, whatever it may be, whether service, you know, or whether, you know, putting Rath Yatra together and seeing it successful, or whether it's going to school and getting a degree, or, you know, working hard. So he worked so hard, and he finally was able to get the fruit of his penance. So that's the first thing he says, Oh my Lord, today after many, many years of penance, I've come to know about you. And then this is the next sentence he says, Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are, that they're unable to know your personality. So this second sentence reveals his excitement, his happiness, his pleasure, to get to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, all of you can remember that when you were looking for what is the ultimate truth, and then you finally found the ultimate truth. You found, wow, this is it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm supposed to serve him. And I'm with him, and these people, all these people around me are going to help me, and I'm going to be with them for the rest of my life, and I found my thing. And what happens when you, I remember when I found the truth, I wanted to share with everybody. And the biggest disappointment was when you're trying to share with somebody, they don't have any desire to do so. I'm like, what's wrong with them? I remember I came in and I wanted to tell all my family members, and they thought I was the craziest person in the world, and they shut me in their house and they didn't want, let me go to go back to the temple. This is what happens. And here Lord Brahma is saying, so you can see he's the second creator. He's going to create. And so he's seeing, and I'm assuming because this is after 100 years, so he's creating, so I'm assuming he hasn't created anybody, but he's talking about the living entities. So my presumptuous is he's remembering the day before when he created, because every day there's a partial devastation. So maybe he's remembering that, you know, I don't know how he's saying that, how unfortunate the living entities are. So my assumption is, and later on you scholarly devotees can tell me, but that's my assumption, that he is feeling so sad. He is feeling so sad. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his eyes. He finally, after so much penance, he saw him. He got the fruit of his results, and he wants to give it to everybody, but he's seeing that people are just unfortunate. They're unable to know your personality. And this is in verse number one from this chapter. Today's verse tells us why they can't know your personality. So today's verse, he talks about that. He says, oh my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They're always afraid. That's why. He's giving the reason why. And then Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport. One is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs. And what are those thoughts? How to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus he's always in fear and lamentation. You know, over the years, few times, not many times, I heard the statement, something to that effect, embarrassed, that it's embarrassing, Prabhupada says about the material body, it's embarrassing to have this material body. And I thought, embarrassing? Really, I'm telling you the truth, that's what I thought. Embarrassing? What's embarrassing about this having a material body? I'm not embarrassed to have this material body. I have this body. What's embarrassing about it? And then I thought, well, whatever Srila Prabhupada says is the truth, so maybe I don't understand it. So then after some time, I thought, I guess this material body is embarrassing because, you know, it's made out of blood, stool, urine, mucus, bile, whatever that is, and it's made up of all these things. So it is embarrassing to have a body made up of those things. So that was my conclusion, that this is why we're embarrassed, is what our body is made out of. But you know what? Srila Prabhupada, our Lord Krishna, gives us verses to the speaker. We think it's Sri Gauranga giving us a speaker, the verse. But as Krishna arranges these verses to help us to go deeper, understanding or clearing our doubts or thinking more about it. So this Prabhupada really nicely elaborates about what are we embarrassed about. How to maintain this family, how to protect. So if we don't have money, we're thinking about how to make money. If we have money, then we're thinking how I can protect this money. If I'm thinking about my friends, how to help them, how to protect them, how they can protect me. Or maybe that aspect is not there about how to keep up with the Jones, like they say. Hopefully, maybe devotees, we don't have that problem. But yes, that is why we're embarrassed. So yes, that does fit in. I won't want to tell anybody what my thoughts are during japa, how they are taken over by these thoughts about how to maintain, how to protect, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc., etc. But Lord Brahma is saying, that is what our problem is. And Srila Prabhupada says in the very beginning that he starts the purport by saying that we can understand why we can't meditate upon the Lord's names, qualities, His forms, His activities, and everything is because we are covered over. We are in anxiety about those. It doesn't say anything. Embarrassment. It's interesting. The embarrassment is not about what we do. It's not about, oh, we are taking care of our family. No, it does not in any way point finger about us taking care, maintaining the family, helping the friends. No, it doesn't say about our actions. It's talking about our thoughts. I remember, I think maybe Nagarajpur, when he just gave class most recently, he said the word tapa. He says tapa, we may think austerities, physical austerities. He says the acharyas mainly say tapa is a mental austerity. So we know Lord Brahma did mental austerity. He meditated for 100 years. So it's the what is being expressed is not what we do, but what we are absorbed in. What is our absorption? And so and we see that again, Bhagavatam helps us to see different devotees, different sadhakas going through that. So there's so many pastimes. As I was meditating on this verse, there's so many pastimes in the Bhagavatam that talks about embarrassment. Dhruva Maharaj, yeah? Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a five-year-old boy, just like this young little boys that are sitting in front of us today. Nimai, Nitai, Krishna Charan. He was a little boy and he was affected by what his stepmother said. So he was in so much, there was so much anger. There was, normally young kids don't have like such a thing where they keep it in, but he had so much, he was so much disturbed, but he was not embarrassed. When Narad Muni came to him and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, go back home. And he said, no, this is what I want. I want this. So you don't see that he was embarrassed then. No, he wasn't. At least to my knowledge, it doesn't seem like he was embarrassed. But when he finally had darshan of Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu told him that you will get what you want and more. That's when he felt embarrassed. He says, it describes, Maitreya Muni describes that he did not demand actual liberation from this material world, but at the end of his devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind. He says, out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which were perishable. So that's when he felt within himself, he felt embarrassed. And he realized, why did I waste my time? You can imagine him thinking, I wasted all this time. I'm so happy that I was able to see Lord Vishnu, but this is what's my meditation, that I wanted a kingdom greater than even Lord Brahma. So he was embarrassed. But because he did his sadhana, so that's the positive thing. Bhagavatam again shows us things, but it also shows, it gives us light. So we see how Dhruva Maharaj did his sadhana, and he got what he wanted, but he got more. But he had darshan of Lord Vishnu. Another example I thought was Indra, a different kind of example, but still the same thing. If you know the story about Indra, he had offended his spiritual master Brihaspati, and there's a whole long story about how when he was offended, then the demons took over his living place, his house, and then Indra, being a sadhaka, a devotee, he went to Vishnu, and Vishnu is always there to help Lord Indra. And at a certain stage, things happened, and he was told to get a thunderbolt made, and he was told to get this person, Dadichi Muni, to get the thunderbolt. And he got a priest, his name was Twasta Vishwarup. Who was it? What was his name? His priest's name? Vishwarup? Okay, well, let's just say it was Vishwarup or somebody. He got a priest. And this priest was, he was younger than the demigods, than Indra. He was like a son. And yet he was told to get him as the priest, and they got the priest, but there was some little thing where the priest was, he was related to the demons from one side and the devotees, the demigods from one side. So he did a little cheating, and he was a little offering little things to the one side from the demons. And when Indra found out, now this is his priest. You know, you get a priest to do something, to bring good fortune to you. And he's doing all that. But he does a little cheating on the side. He kind of keeps things for somebody else, you know. What does Indra do? And he's like younger to him, like a son. Indra went and asked him to be the priest. He asked him to be the priest. But he cuts off his head. Why did he do that? For maintaining his household, so to speak, to maintain his family, so to speak, to be in the Swargaloka. And the amazing part is that, and then later on, this demon gets created, Vritasura, is created by the father of, I think his name was Twasta, created this demon, Vritasura. And Vritasura, he's a demon, he's born in the demon family. But I'm talking about here, focusing on about embarrassments. I was just giving you a little background. So basically, Vritasura is there and Indra is there, and they're fighting with each other. Vishnu is on Indra's side, and Vritasura, the demon, is fighting. At a certain stage, what happens that his soldiers, Vritasura's soldiers, are afraid and they're running, and Indra attacks all of them. Indra and other demigods attack from the behind. And so this is what Vritasura says to Indra. Only for the sake of living in the heavenly planets, you killed my elder brother, a self-realized, sinless, qualified Brahman who had been appointed your chief priest. He was your spiritual master, but although you entrusted him With the performance of your sacrifice, you later mercilessly severed his heads, I guess he had many, from his body, the way one butchers an animal. O King of the demigods, since I, your enemy, am standing before you, why don't you hurl your thunderbolt at me? Although your attack upon me with your club was certainly useless, like a request of money from a miser, the thunderbolt you carry will not be useless. You need have no doubts about this. Can you imagine you're in the position, in the shoes of Indra, and Vritrasura, the demon, is saying that? He says, but the interesting part is that after he says that, and I find it pretty far out, after he says that, after he gives it to Indra for being so attached, and you can imagine he was in, must be in complete anxiety. Indra must have been so much anxiety having to go through what he did, and you know, from the time he offended his spiritual master. After Vritrasura says that, he's just right in the middle of the battlefield. He just turns away from Indra and started praying to his Supreme Lord. Isn't that amazing? Here he's telling, go ahead and kill me with your thunderbolt. And he's a warrior, he's ready to fight. He said, go ahead and kill me. And I know your thunderbolt, Vishnu has blessed it, so it's gonna happen. But then he just turns to the Lord within his heart, and he started saying prayers, the most amazing prayers. Vritrasura starts saying to his Lord, very beautiful. For me, my favorite prayers are Kunti's prayers and Vritrasura's prayers. I think maybe they're because they're very much more easy to understand. They don't have so much elaborate praises about Krishna's absolute, his power and his, you know, personality or whatever like that. Prayers that are easier to understand. And I'm going to say the first prayer here just for you to see that how the Bhagavatam is showing us two things side by side, how one may be embarrassed by the anxieties that we may have and we're absorbed in, and by somebody else whose external activities are not so much appreciated maybe by devotees. He's fighting with some sadhakas here. But where his heart is, where his absorption is, he says, let me read the Sanskrit. Aham hare tava padai kamula dasanutaso bhavitasmi bhuyaha manasmareta supater gunam se grini tava karma karotukaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. So here we have the example of somebody whose consciousness, whose internal meditation is his external action is different, but his internal meditation is upon Krishna. And we see that quite a few examples like that in the Bhagavatam, where I thought about Bhishma Dev, just thinking about Bhishma Dev actually, how his external actions were something we may may not want to do, but his internal meditation, we see that in the chapter Bhishma Dev passing away, we see his internal meditation, what it is. Where his devotion was, where his heart was. He talks about how when Krishna came with the wheel and we see that how his meditation was from later on when he talks about when he saw Krishna and his meditation of his flowing hair and his beauty. And so that's what his absorption was. So the thing is that we can understand why we are in this embarrassing situation. We are hearing about why are we in this embarrassing situation to a lesser or a greater degree. And hopefully, as we read Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, as we hear Bhagavatam, if you're not able to attend the class, we should make sure that we hear classes online, that we read Bhagavatam, at least one verse a day, hear the Bhagavatam, every verse, like just this verse today, Lord Brahma is thinking, he's thinking about other people and why are they not able to think about you, my dear Lord? How much he wants us, how much Lord Brahma wants us to think about the Lord that he found. He wants us to find the Lord. He wants us to get out of this embarrassing situation. And by hearing the Bhagavatam every day, by associating with the Vaishnavas every day, we can go beyond this embarrassment that we have. In my mind, I think for me, the best way to help me to get out of this embarrassing situation is by being in the association of all the devotees present here, by hearing from them. They're so enthusiastic about doing seva. As their body is dwindling, we hear that Prahlad Maharaj talks about to his friends that while your body is still strong and stout, before the body is dwindling, chant Hare Krishna. So we are seeing here, amongst Vaishnavas here right in front of me, the bodies are dwindling, and they are coming here feeling happy. I was just talking to Malati Devi, our Malati Devi, right here a couple of days ago, and I said to her, God, you're losing so much weight. And how come? And she said, I don't know, but I'm happy. She says, well, one thing is it's helped me to walk easier with less weight. But she said, I'm happy. She's there rolling chapatis. Why is she happy? Because we hear the Bhagavatam every day. We associate with other devotees. So our embarrassing situation becomes less and less and less. Our mind becomes more and more absorbed in the Bhagavatam, in the chanting of the holy name. We just have to do this process. So it's not a new process. Every day we sit down and come here. Do we hear something new? Does anybody hear anything new when you come here? Nobody's saying, oh.
Sometimes when you give
birth. Thank you, Raghavika. But yeah. We hear the same advertisement every day. We spend 45 minutes, come here, we hear Bhagavatam, to hear the same old thing. But it's always new. It's ever fresh. It's ever fresh. That's why we love to come. That's why we go online and hear the Bhagavatam. We hear so many classes. There's so much to hear. The more we hear, the less our embarrassing situation will be. Krishna is promising. The more we engage, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the more we engage our skills,
even if we love wealth, if we love to accumulate wealth, that's totally fine. But we do it for Krishna. I'm sure Mother Mukhya, I am told that Jewish people like wealth. And so if that is so true, Mother Mukhya loves wealth, and what does she do? She accumulates wealth to take care of Krishna's temple. Yeah? Her meditation is how to keep this temple going on. So yeah, we can engage our desires. Premanji told me that she wanted to be an interior designer or something like that. But that's what she does. Her anxiety is, I was talking to her the other day, her anxiety was Balaram Purnima is coming and the outfits and this is not here and this is and the sleeve is not and they didn't send this and that. So we can engage our absorption, our mind in Krishna's service so we're not embarrassed by, like Srila Prabhupada said, about different things, about family and about wealth and this and that for personal thing, but for Krishna. In that way, we'll be able to be absorbed in Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, all those things. And that way we can love Krishna and go back to Godhead. Jai. Thank you very much, everybody, for your kind attention. Please give us your comments, questions, or realizations. Thank you very much. Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, you're not allowed to ask me a question, but go ahead. You can make a comment.
Don't worry about that. There's a nice verse at the end, I think at the 11th canto, there's a verse about Lord Chaitanya. Vande Mahate Purusha Chadanar Abhindam, that all the verses end with that. Mm-hmm. There's one verse that's not specifically about Lord Chaitanya, and it specifically the BBT translation describes how Brityarthi Hum Pranapalata Bhavabdi Potam, that you destroy. Britya means your servants. Arti, of course, it means like pain or something, but it's translated as embarrassing. So, Vrityarthi hum, like destroy. Vrityarthi hum, that you destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life. So, that verse is there. I noticed that the verse, and you have every right to choose whatever topic you want to emphasize, so you chose embarrassment. You don't have to be embarrassed by that. But I noticed that the verse and almost the whole purport was, and again, I'm not criticizing it, that the verse and the whole purport was focused on this one theme about wealth and money. You did touch on that theme to a certain extent, but I don't know if you wanted to add any finishing touches dealing with what was emphasized so much, or that concern about wealth and understanding the proper use of it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your comment. Yes, Srila Prabhupada's purports, there were two paragraphs there, and the first paragraph was about thinking about the Lord, and the second was about engaging ourselves. And I guess I tried to do that in the very last couple of sentences about how we can, that's why I think that's what Srila Prabhupada says, that we can engage ourselves, engage our wealth or our tendencies in his service, and that way we can go, and that way we can be less embarrassed in our thoughts, I guess. Thank you. Yes?
Hari Bhavar. I preach a little bit online. Touching close to 3 million views. Sometimes I touch upon wealthy people or famous people. Like India has this billionaire. I forgot his name, but I came in touch with him and I said, time will take away everything eventually. He has like over $100 billion. So why don't you give $1 billion to preach Krishna consciousness? You know, I just made a comment, you know. But then sometimes
did you get any response?
The fans them would defend the course. Oh. You know, what are you smoking? You know, or they would come, you know, or even sometimes movie stars, I would touch them sometimes and say, you got money, you got fame, you know, time would eventually take away everything. Why don't you invest some time in self-realization? Yeah. And then the fans would jump in and, you know, all interaction. But, you know, it's nice in the sense that that I can preach a little bit there, you know. Yeah.
Thank you, Guru. Ragat Guru.
So when you were citing the examples of Vritasura and Bhishmadev, how their actions apparently were not what we would expect, considering their internal meditation. So it makes me think how really the tendency to judge anybody is really it's so presumptuous to think that we can judge anybody. Why are we quick? Why am I quick to judge? It's the false ego to be superior, a better, or, you know, the best, or whatever.
Yeah, we just have to keep on chanting the holy name. Keep on, keep on hearing Bhagavatam. Keep on associating. Yeah.
A true Vaishnava never judges, doesn't judge. We can discriminate.
Yes, we discriminate.
As far as association and intimate more, you know.
Yeah.
But judging. Mm. Yeah. Judging is like condemning, isn't it? It's wanting.
Yeah, putting them down in some way, if we're trying to put ourselves up. Yeah. Yeah, I mean Indra, the nice part is in the next chapter we see Indra really appreciates Vritasura. He actually, although he kills him, but he realizes what a devotee he is. And so then he really appreciates and glorifies Vritasura. That probably you have heard that before, that In the not Upanishads, must be in the Karmakanda section. Indra is praised for this. Indra is praised in this war because he killed Vritasura. So Indra is glorified. That's why Bhagavatam is unique. Bhagavatam is so unique. The hero is Vritasura, not Indra. But in the other sections of the Vedas, Indra is considered the hero. So Bhagavatam gives us a whole very different viewpoint on things. So yeah, your reflection is an important one, yes. It's not to judge. Yeah. Any other question? Yes. Dal Chaitanya Prabhu.
So just I guess maybe some clarification for myself. So in the purport it's kind of mentioned that the material world, you know, everyone's full of thoughts of maintaining family and wealth. And then in the last line of the translation, it mentions the idea of sheltering the lotus feet takes away the anxiety. So I guess just thinking on that, sometimes the thought of surrender can lead to inaction, right? So, you know, there's no need to take care of family or have some wealth or engaging. And you kind of mentioned on kind of how that transpires practically through listening. I guess just wondering what happens after that. Is there no need to take care of family and accumulate wealth? Does that become easier? And that's why there's no anxiety? I guess, how does that process work where basically eventually the anxiety is no longer there.
The anxiety usually is there because of thinking I, me, and mine. It's not about, again, it's not about the action. Lord Brahma is not talking about, or Srila Prabhupada is not talking about, there is no need to act. So one has a family, one has to act. One takes care to the best of their ability to take care of the family. However, the absorption is not how to maintain the family. The absorption is that Krishna will take care and I'm an instrument. And so, and I find for myself the barometer of where my absorption is during japa time. Japa time is a time where it's exclusively for me talking to Krishna. So if I'm talking to Krishna, while I'm talking to Krishna, I'm thinking about something else, my mind is absorbed in something else, then I know, okay, that is where my absorption is. However, during japa time, I'm really taking the time to hear, to be with Krishna and hear the holy name, then that shows a good thing, because then I know, and I'm told that during japa time, if you take that time very seriously and spend that time with Krishna, then Krishna kind of takes care of things, it helps the rest of the day. It will help you to be more absorbed in Krishna. So no, it's not about we don't take, Prabhupada says something like, don't give up your family now and then go to the holy dham and then you create another family. Because that means the attachment or the desires are not gone. So we perform our actions, but we depend on Krishna. I mean, I don't know if that answers your question.
It does, thank you.
Yes, Maharaj.
I just want to go back to Raghatmika Mataji's emphasis that who are we? We shouldn't judge. That's true. In the Bible, it says something about judge not, that you will not be judged. And of course, Yamaraj doesn't apply to him. That's his service, is to judge 24/7. But in general, even for the rest of us, I just wanted to tweak the idea a little bit that, I mean, you can say discriminate and judge are two different things, but they seem closely related. In other words, we do have to discriminate, that's for sure. And in Upadeshamrita, for instance, one has to discriminate, even judge, and it's not so easy to do this sometimes, but which devotee is very advanced, which is next advanced, which is next advanced, and one seeks his guru or his association in general. I'm sorry, I'm hearing the Lachua. His or her association in general, according to that discrimination, or we can even say how he's judging different levels. So I think it's, you know, just in general, it's a nice idea. It's part of being humble, but, you know, not to judge. But at the same time, judge, at least in the sense of discriminate, is a very active principle, I think, in devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for expanding on that. Ekadashi and then Raghatmika.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was thinking also, in addition to the Prabhu's question about the family just now, and I was thinking, yeah, I appreciated what you said, that we do it, well, anyway, we do it as this is my service, and also I was thinking another way to that I could see it is to, I taking care of my family for Krishna, but also let me see what I can do to help someone else's family. Yeah, so that it's not, because it could also be you know, as they say in the material sense, like extended selfishness.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So to avoid that, so I'm not neglecting my family, but also I'm not only taking care of my family.
Yeah, it's very nice, very nice. Thank you.
It's noteworthy that you, in response to Doyle Chaitanya's question, came to japa and absorption, and not to bring our anxieties and our all those things into the japa period. Mm-hmm. I once was questioning, what does surrender mean? How do we know that we're surrendering? You know, it's so kind of it escapes me. Then I realized one way to, let's say, ascertain that is how we are really absorbed in our japa, mm-hmm. how we are surrendering our mind to the sound vibration of the holy name, just surrendering, blindly almost, you know, just surrendering and letting go of the anxieties.
Yeah.
Then the rest of everything is just, we see it as Krishna's mercy and we're grateful.
Yeah, it's a real surrender. It's a surrender to let go of other things and really. But Krishna helps. I find that Krishna really helps because you really pray before japa and you say, okay, Krishna, please, I want to spend this time with you now. Don't let any other thoughts come. And when you sincerely start chanting your japa like that, then what happens is that Krishna helps, that other thoughts may come. But it does. He right away like says, okay, you know, he does this faster. It used to be longer, but now it's very fast. And one important part that I find in my own japa, sometimes I can pick up my beatman and just, okay, start chanting. But what I do now is like, if I don't hear the first mantra, and I make chant like 20 names there without even knowing that I've actually started my japa. So I punish myself, so to speak, by going back. You better listen to the first mantra at least, you know. So then even if I've chanted half a round or something, I go back and at least chant the first, you know, first mantra properly, you know. But yeah, I think the mantra is japa is a way that we can see. Yes, Mataji.
Is dharma the same thing as serving the Lord?
A very good question. What's your name?
Gulnara.
Okay. Yes, Gulnara. Very good question. Is dharma the same thing as serving Krishna? Yes, the eternal dharma is serving Krishna. And yet dharma has a different meaning too. We have material dharma, material duties. So our material duties may be in relationship with this body. But the paro dharma, the supreme dharma, is serving the Lord and serving. Serving the Lord means serving his devotees as well, and serving the people in general. So for us practitioners, devotees, our main thing is that we serve Krishna. First of all, we serve our spiritual master who says that we have to serve Krishna. And Krishna says that we serve the spiritual master, the devotees, and everybody else. So we serve everybody differently. So with our body, we are serving all the Vaishnavas, we're serving them. In our mind, we're serving Krishna by absorbing and thinking about him. And then we're serving everybody else by trying to give them Krishna. So the dharma is, yes, you're right, dharma is paro dharma. Real dharma is serving Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.